Let's pray. Our loving Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your Son, Jesus. And we thank you for your affirmation of him at his baptism. May all that we do be in accordance with your word to us and to bring glory to him. Amen. Would you like to have a seat, please? I'd like to start off today by reading you just a couple of lines from a poem by a lady called Dorothy Law Nolte. It's a selection of lines. The poem is quite long, and I've modified it slightly to make it a little more gender inclusive. But it's a poem called If a Child Lives With. If a child lives with criticism, he learns to condemn. If a child lives with hostility, she learns to fight. If a child lives with fear, he learns to be apprehensive. If a child lives with jealousy, she learns to feel guilt. If a child lives with tolerance, he learns to be patient. If a child lives with encouragement, she learns to be confident. And so the poem goes on for quite some time, but I think you get the gist of it. What we hear, what we are told about ourselves, often helps to shape us. It's not just for children either, but for everyone. Bit by bit, we're either built up or torn down by the voices around us. What messages do you hear? What messages bombard us every day? You're too fat, too old, too young, too tall, too short. Not qualified, overqualified, in need of this or that hair colour, or investment solution, or TV, or car, or whatever the list goes on to be. Imagine how different life would be if we more often heard positive messages, affirmations of who we are. Just like the children that I mentioned, we're all shaped to some extent by what we hear. Listen again to that great passage from Isaiah, a word of the Lord, really, in essence, spoken to each one of us. In the Isaiah reading, we heard, "But now thus says the Lord, he who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, do not fear, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you, and through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. You are precious in my sight and honored, and I love you. Do not fear, for I am with you." This is what God thinks of us. We are created by him, chosen by him, and loved by him. This is the God who knows the numbers of hairs on our very heads. A little bit easier task with some than with others. This is the God who claims us as his own through our baptism and tells us that we are chosen and unique, that we are created in the image of the one who speaks to us with such love. This is the God whom we gather to worship Sunday by Sunday, and we're grateful to be in the presence of this God. As we gather in worship, we hear positive affirmations that come from God, as well as sometimes his rebuking and guiding, pruning and refining. In our worship gatherings, we often hear the words of St. Paul's blessing of grace. "The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all," says Paul. And when we hear that in church, we often respond with the words, "and also with you." We share the peace of God as we gather with one another regularly in our services. We gather together to sing praises to God and to bask in his presence, in his grace, and in his love. We hear affirmations from Scripture telling us who we are and whose we are, counteracting those other messages that we often hear coming all throughout the week. Let's listen to some of those scriptural verses now. Paul writes in his second letter to the Corinthians, "So if anyone is in Christ, there is a new creation." And to the Philippians, he writes, "I'm confident in this, that the one who began a good work among you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ." In the Old Testament prophet Jeremiah, we read, "Call to me and I will answer you, and I will tell you great and hidden things that you had not known." And Peter reminds us that you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God. Each time we baptize someone, whether that be a child or an adult, we hear again the promises of God, promises that remind us that the person baptized, and indeed all of us, that remind us who we are despite what other messages we might hear in this life. We share in the awe of Jesus's baptism, where God declares to Jesus, "You are my son, my beloved, with you I am well pleased." This is a love that's showered upon Jesus before he'd actually achieved anything in his earthly ministry. This is what some people have called the first love. And we who are in Jesus also experience that first love from God. A love that's not contingent upon us first having to do or accomplish anything. It's a love that's poured out on us without our deserving. It's a love that states who we are, as well as promising to help us to live out what God is calling us to be. It's a love which wants to enable each one of us to live out that mission that God created us for and calls us to. St. Paul reminds us in his second letter to the Corinthians that we are but earthen vessels, but that when we're followers of Jesus, we also bear in those earthen vessels treasure of great worth. This is who we are. This is our true self, not some imagined idea of perfection created and peddled by the culture in which we live. We are treasures, and we contain treasures. We're created, chosen, and redeemed by God, loved by him, even before we do anything in response. I think the starting point of all that we are and all that we do is found in God's words to Jesus at his baptism. "You are loved. You are beloved. With you, God is well pleased." Now, clearly, these words were spoken to Jesus at his baptism. But when we come to Christ, when we come to be in Christ, we're bound up together in him, so that when the Lord looks on us, he sees us as we are in him. When our Heavenly Father beholds each one of us, he says that we are his child, whom he loves, and in us he is well pleased. Finish up, I'm going to read a portion of our gospel reading again. This time I want you to hear those words spoken not only about God's beloved Son, Jesus, but also spoken to each one of us, spoken to you, also his beloved child. We read, "John said, 'I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. I'm not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire.' Now when all the people were baptized, and when Jesus also had been baptized and was praying, the heavens were opened, and the Holy Spirit descended upon him in bodily form like a dove, and a voice came from heaven, 'You are my Son, the Beloved. With you I am well pleased.'